Okay, good afternoon, everybody. So sometimes when you're davening for a cholah, you're davening for a person for a long time, and then at some point, an email goes out or a text goes out or something that says that the person's name is no longer what it was. Now they added the name Chaim, they added the name Shalom, they added the name Raphael, or something like that. And the natural reaction to that is, oh boy, you know, this is not good news. So the question is, like, where does this minhag come from, and at what point is that supposed to be done, and is it supposed to be done, and is it the proper thing, and is that a name that sticks, and has that become part of a family name? So let's go back to the beginning. The importance of a person's name is something that is well documented in Chazal. The Gemara Brachos and Daf Zayin tells us that somehow a person's name is an indication, kishmo kein hu, it's an indication of his essential character. It very often will help determine his lot in life. The Marsha tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions are sometimes influenced by a person's name in the way he treats the person. The Gemara says that Rus was Zochatav David, it was Merav LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'shiros HaShbachos, because her name, partially because her name was Rus. The Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Hazinu tells us that a person has to be very careful in choosing a name for a child, because that could predispose him to certain tendencies, and even our very custom that has changed over time, that we no longer just name children what we feel like. We always go with family names because we're terrified of picking our own name, of making up a name, because we could be so terribly off base when we do so. So we try to pick family names, and that seems to be the more common practice, or at least names from the Bible, you know, from Tanakh itself, that, or from Tzaddikim, or something that's already there, that's already in the world, notwithstanding the Israeli custom of taking any three random syllables and putting them together and making a name out of it. But the name means something to us. So where does it come from to change the name of a sick person? So the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin and Beis tells us that when there's a gzeirim and hashemayim against a person, so there are four ways to change that gzeirim and hashemayim. Tzedakah tasim mavis, a person should give tzedakah, a person should cry out to the Ribbono Shalom, zoik and tzoik, takonosh baruch hu, a person should be mishana ma'asov, do tshuva, so that makes a lot of sense, and to be mishana shmo. A person should change his name, and that way that will take care of the decree. So the Ramah quotes this in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah in Yeridah and Siman Shin Lamed Ches, if Yud, quotes this minhag to change the name of a person who is dangerously ill, with the assumption that, yes, the Gezeira was made up in Shemaim. Not that it's going to be a clerical error or something like that, like up in Shemaim. Oh, where is Yankel? There's no Yankel here anymore. We can't find him. We snuck him by because it was Shalom Yankel now, you know, like, nah, it doesn't mean that. It means that it changes a person's very nature, it changes a person's very character and very and his destiny. A person's destiny gets changed in some way by the change of name, because as we said, the name has such an impact. The Sefer Hasidim records that some have the practice to do different, that instead of changing the name, they sell the patient, they sell him to another family, so you no longer, because maybe the assumption is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a just God. So if he's going to punish somebody's going to die, that means it's going to affect a lot of people. And who does it affect most? It affects his closest family most, and then it affects his next circle a little bit less, and then the next circle a little bit less. So if we could change his circles a little bit, so maybe the decree that was made against him was supposed to impact his immediate family, but if we could change his immediate family and move him to a different family, the decree wasn't made against that immediate circle. So there was actually a practice, Sefer Hasidim records, that they would sell him to a different family instead of changing his name. And that was the logic, that the decree was made against Ben Ploni, as opposed to against only Ploni. So if he's no longer Ben Ploni, and then you won't have such a decree. So the Nahagos, Makor Chesed, and the Sefer Hasidim, he says, and that's where the name Meshulam comes from, paid for. You know, he's already been taken care of. And that's what they suggest. He suggests also that the name, in the Kuntras of Ziv HaShemos, on page 100, he suggests that the names Tachlifa and Chalafta that are found in the Gemara also originate from such arrangements. So I once mentioned this because I thought it was so odd. And a guy came over to me in my shul, a good friend of mine, told me that his great uncle was sold to another family when he was a young child and he was sick and whatever. And that was something that they did. Pittsburgh. It was not like in in some small town in Russia somewhere. Like that's what they did. So apparently it's been done. I just don't think it's the thing to do anymore. I don't think people do this, but apparently that was something that people did. When one is changing a name, so the shaila is, do you change a name or do you add a name? So in the Sefer Tamei Ben Hagim, he quotes a Sefer called Rachmei Ha'av, who says that changing a name is very risky because a person needs Ruach HaKodesh to give a name. The Midrashim tell us that parents are blessed with a certain sense of Ruach HaKodesh in that moment where they have to name a child. But it doesn't mean that anybody that's just going to decide to change a person's name is going to be blessed with the same Ruach HaKodesh. So to take on that achrayus is very, very difficult. So instead, the common custom is not to change the name, not to take away a name, but to add a different name to the name that already exists. And maybe that's why he suggests Avram Avinu was renamed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it was by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he was renamed from Avram to Avraham. But when it comes to Yaakov, it was just Yaakov became also Yisrael, because it wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was only a Malach. So that was on a different level, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. But okay, so that's what they suggest. Now, if you're going to add a name, what name do you add? So in the Sefer Chassidim, he says that when you choose a new name for a sick person, what you should do is open up a Chumash to a random page, and the first name you see on the right side of the page, that should be the person's name. The first time, Mr. Shelach, like that. That will be the person. You may want to aim for certain parts of the Chumash, not other parts of the Chumash, to find the name that might be better. But the first name that you pull up on the right side of the page. So it's probably based on the idea that who are we to choose? We can't. We don't have that kind of Ruach HaKodesh. Others are not so enthralled with that idea, and I think the more common practice is to pick a name that's cheerful, Raphael or Baruch or Chaim or Shalom or Azriel, something like that, that suggests a change in mazel, that suggests something more positive and more cheerful. In fact, the Chida in the Sefer Dvash Lufi writes that when you add a name for a woman, he gives suggestions of what not to add and what yes to add. I'm not sure exactly the logic behind it. He says, not Rachel, Batsheva, Tamar or Leah, yes Chana, Sarah or Yocheved. I once asked Rav Shachter about this. He said not Tamar. He also thought not to add Tamar. Tamar is a name that a person might give, but not to add Tamar. But Chana, Sarah, or Yocheved, for some reason, are more, because they're more cheerful names. Now, in Shuvas Minchas Elazar, in Chelek Dal, Simchav Zayin, he says that when a person has a name added due to illness, the new name should become the first name. You don't add it on to, if the person's name is, pick a common name. Give me a name. That's not. What do you say? Shlomo Zalman. So you wouldn't, and you wanted to make him Chaim, so you wouldn't say Shlomo Zalman Chaim, you would say Chaim Shlomo Zalman. And that you would always have to add it on at the beginning. But interestingly, the Minchas Elazar writes, the Munkacha writes, that if the person dies from that illness, then. So you think the end of the sentence is going to be then you ignore that name, right? And that name goes away, because that's our common practice. Now what he says, then the name gets tagged on at the end. Meaning Rav Belsky, Zichrono Livracha, was very ill a few years before he died, and they added the name Chaim to Rav Belsky. So in the article biography, it's Rav Chaim Yisrael Belsky, right? Something like that. Because he got better from that illness, and he died from another illness later on. So then, they kept it as the first name, and that is the common practice, that they do keep it as the first name. But our common practice is that if he dies from that illness, then the name just falls away entirely. There are other reasons that one might want to change a name, even though the Shulchan Aruch or the Rama only mentions it in reference to a sick person, but there are other circumstances that Poskim discuss. Rav Sturmbach in Shuvas V'Hanagos Chelek Aleph Tav Shin Tzadi in Simon Tav Shin Tzadi was asked for various ideas and skulas for a couple that was married for 10 years and didn't have any children. So he had many suggestions, and one of them was that maybe the parents' names are not compatible with each other, and maybe that's one of the causes for the lack of children, so he suggests changing the name. Not so pasha that you could always do that. There are ramifications for that, for Aksuba and for other things, but you do have Gedolei HaPoskim that recommend it all the time. And people go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky all the time, and he's just, left and right, he's changing people's names. There are a lot of names that he doesn't like, you know, names that he's not a big fan of. He doesn't like Shiras and Rinas and whatever. So he's changing names all the time. But it's not such a pasha thing for, you know, regular people to do. But the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalit, writes that one of the Durachim of Tshuva is to change a person's name. So suggesting that I'm no longer that person who committed the sin, because look, I have a new name. I'm an entirely different person. I think common practice is in neither of these situations to really change the name. You know, sometimes you'll have Mukabalim or something that will make such suggestions, but I think the common practice is that we don't do these things. But for Cholim, because that's in the Ramah, that appears in Shulchan Aruch, when a person is very, very ill and it looks like they really need Rachamei Shemayim, so in such circumstances, they very often the family will ask a Shaila and they will change the name in such circumstances, and it works a lot of times. You know, you do have a lot of people that are Zochan to Rachamei Shemayim soon after a name change. So it is based on real sources. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.